Hi there, this is Jay Baruchel inviting you to a great party for a great cause. I hope to see you on Friday, November 23rd at Espace Réunion for the Kids for Kids 20th Anniversary Party, The Enchanted Garden, furnished by Lux Rentals. Co-lead sponsor Pivotal Payments invites you to a VIP cocktail at 7 p.m., followed by a night of dancing to benefit Sarah's Fund of the Cedars Cancer Institute. All the money raised goes to helping kids with cancer, so come party. For info, tickets, or to donate, you can call 843-1606 or go to kidsforkids.ca.
That despite those unimaginably horrible good job numbers, we're feeling pretty confident. Those drapes aren't fit to hang in the Burns bedroom.
You mean the Lincoln bedroom?
For now. There's only one thing that might deny us the presidency that is the God-given property of the Republican Party.
The 47% tape?
Nope.
The empty chair?
Nope.
Cayman Islands?
Not a problem.
Swiss bank accounts?
Pshaw!
$10,000 bet? I'd like to fire people? Forcible haircut? The tax returns that Wesley Snipes would call suspicious?
No, 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 and no.
Welcome to another week of The Kaufman Show. Are you sick of the election yet? Because it's almost over. Anybody that I know that watched any kind of football yesterday, I think they felt a little bit overwhelmed. And I think now we know how it feels to live in a battleground state. Give you the Sunday before the election, and it's vote for this guy, vote for this guy, vote for this guy, vote for this guy. Don't vote for this guy. Don't vote for this guy. This guy hates you. Vote for Jay Farrar. He'll clean this city up.
Damn right I will.
How are you, my man?
I'm good.
Yeah, you all right?
Yeah, and that's why I don't watch network television, my friend. Can't do it. Can't handle it.
Can't handle
COVID. I can't deal with this election stuff. I can't. I just can't.
Almost over, man.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Who are you rooting for?
I don't care.
Really?
I don't care.
You know Roseanne Barr is running for president.
Then I'm rooting for her.
I thought you might.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding either.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't care. I don't care who wins. Doesn't make a difference. I always like to see the worst guy win.
May the worst man win?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I like to see the guy who I know is really going to screw up bad win, and actually, you know, for 8 years I was
it was hilarious for me. Yeah.
It was hilarious for me for 8 years because I love seeing chaos. I love it.
I have such vivid memories of 2000. It's one of my first experiences watching something live on the internet, and it was being in my dorm room in the middle of the night while they were still trying to figure out Florida on that first night with the election, when Gore conceded, but then halfway through realized that he was actually up 13,000 votes, and things just went all pear-shaped from there for the next month. But I remember, I think it was Peter Jennings on ABC.com telling me to go to sleep. And I mean, it wasn't me specifically, but it was like, nothing's going
to
be figured out.
He said, Dave, go to sleep.
Dave Kaufman, go to sleep.
It's enough. Go to sleep.
From one Canadian to another.
Okay, well, that's nice of him.
It's feels like a long time ago, yet every election since.
I remember that night well, and I slept very well.
Did you?
Yes.
You must have gone to bed before anything was resolved.
I did.
It's the earliest you've gone to bed in years, Jay.
I'll read the paper in the morning. I'm sure there'll be some kind of an answer to all this.
There was a plenty of closure in that newspaper.
Yeah. This was before I was in the bar business.
I used to get very excited for the election night and watching the returns come in. And I think I've realized now that it's pointless to sit in front of your television and watch numbers go up or down. Nothing is going to get settled until the end of the night anyway.
That's right.
And if
so
things
tune in about 10 minutes before the polls are all in.
And even then, that might be early.
Yeah.
When you think about all the lawyers that each side has amassed.
Yeah. And it's just, I can't, the banter between the correspondents and the
Do you remember the hologram last time, Jay?
The hologram?
The hologram.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
CNN,
I remember that. Yeah,
they
had
a hologram of Will.i.am.
Yeah.
Which really revolutionized journalism.
Right.
It's changed the way that we look at news. It just made everything so much more relevant. I mean, uh-huh. That hologram, it without it, I don't know how we would have felt the emotion of Barack Obama being elected for that first time. If we hadn't been able to go to Grant Park with the Will.i.am hologram, I don't know, Jay. I don't think we would have felt all this hopey, changey stuff in the last 4 years.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it really affected me greatly.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
It paved the trail, if you will, for the hologram two-pack.
Yes.
At Coachella and the company that went out of business.
Yes.
And I can't wait to see what they do. Actually, I have no intentions of watching.
When I saw the hologram of Tupac,
yeah,
a little bit of my soul died that day.
Just a little.
Just a little bit, yeah.
Well, whatever was left.
Whatever was left of it, yeah, has been completely extinguished. And I am just a hollow shell now.
The fact that the company went under showed that there won't be a hologram Biggie anytime soon.
How unfortunate.
Unless they pull that off for the
Well, that's a lot of lasers.
Night. That'll be very impressive.
That's a lot of lasers, Biggie.
I feel like if that happens, if CNN has a hologram of Biggie Smalls tomorrow night, I guarantee you we will see a Tea Party revolt by Wednesday morning.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. They will rise up.
They'll rise up?
Yeah.
I'd like to see who they'd have a hologram of. Hank Williams Jr.
Oh, can you do holograms of people that are still with us? Other than Will.i.am,
is he still
Park.
With us, Hank Williams Jr.?
Isn't he?
No, he died to me a long time ago.
Didn't he do that terrible song last time? Weren't we playing that last year on the show? Some awful Hank Williams Jr. song.
That's right. That's when he died to me. I thought he was dead, so he's dead to me.
I have a similar feeling.
Right,
Will.i.am.
Yeah, Tupac and Biggie are way more alive than Hank Williams Jr. to me.
We've got a great show tonight. We're going to break down the election with Dave Zirin, Edge of Sports, in about 5 minutes' time. Frankly, there's nobody I'd rather talk about the election with. I feel like Dave's got the right take. He'll enjoy it, Jay.
You know who's super excited about Dave?
Who?
My old man.
Oh,
my
yeah.
My dad called me today. He's like, you got Dave Zirin on today? I'm like, yeah. He loves him.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
We'll bring in our new show basketball correspondent.
What?
At around 12:30 in about a half an hour's time.
Wow.
Max Kerman, huge basketball fan, very knowledgeable hoops fan, has a pretty cool day job too. Sings the theme song to this show. Then, because tonight is all about democracy and freedom, we're calling China.
Yes. Why?
We're going to speak with Mark Simon.
Oh.
Who is...
I needed some shirts. I thought...
Well, maybe he can hook you up.
We're going to place an order.
When he brings his team to the Quebec Pee Wee tournament from China, Maybe he can hook you up. Bring a few shirts along. This is the Kaufman Show, and we'll be back. Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman and Jay Farrar here with you for the next couple of hours. We're waiting on Mr. Zirin right now. Dave is standing up for the disenfranchised. I imagine he's at the back of some voting line somewhere making sure that everything's kosher.
You think he's doing that?
I'd like to pretend.
Okay.
I don't think the polls are open.
I don't think he's doing that.
No, I don't think he's doing that either. He might be commenting on it somewhere, though.
He might be doing that.
I hope we do get in touch with Dave, because there are some things I'd like to touch on. He was on top of something on Twitter today that a lot of journalists didn't catch, and kudos to Dave for being right on it. Mitt Romney gave one of his final campaign speeches today in Sanford, Florida. If the name rings a bell to any of you, it's where Trayvon Martin was shot last spring. And the irony is not lost. And there we are.
What's the irony?
The gun control Republicans. There's just so meh. That was for about 3 weeks last April. Trayvon Martin was all that was spoken about in the media.
Right.
Have you heard it in the last 3 months?
No.
You don't sound surprised.
No, I'm not surprised at all. Listen, I mean, maybe if it was a 5-year-old little white girl, we'd probably still be hearing about it. Otherwise, no, we're not going to hear about it.
Well, under those circumstances, that would have been a hell of a fight.
Yeah.
Between Mr. Zimmerman and a 5-year-old white girl. We shall see what happens with this wonderful country to the south of ours tomorrow. And we know that we have a huge audience in the States as well. Since we became TSN 690, the frequency got that much louder.
Yes, everybody can hear it.
We don't have to turn ourselves down at night.
I was in Shawinigan. I was hearing it loud and clear.
Oh, that's, you know what? I was hearing it in Shawinigan when we were on 990.
Oh, I wasn't hearing it so well.
That was,
we were switching back and forth. Bartlett and I were switching back and forth. Like, can you hear it? Can't hear it.
There's
hear it?
A beautiful national park just outside of Shawinigan.
Yeah.
La Mauricie.
Yeah.
And I was able to check it long, long time ago.
Oh, maybe the park, yeah.
Hear ball games driving through that park.
And then we crank called the studio.
Well, that's always fun.
Yeah.
It's either the
studio. I'm not supposed to say that, but we did.
Or Jose Canseco. You got to take your pick, right?
Yeah.
Let's go to the phones. 514-790-1690. If you're out of town, like the fine Americans that we were just speaking about, 1-866-896-2546. Let's go to Jerry in Snowden. Hello, Jerry.
Hi, Dave. Well, I'm one of the Americans.
I know you are. Mr. Washington, D.C., how are you, sir?
I'm doing okay, and I voted for Obama.
I am shocked. Shocked and appalled.
I think I'm pretty sure he's going to win.
It's looking that way. If you trust Mr. Silver's predictions on the New York Times site, he's got him at about 91% right now.
Oh, that's great. Who is he, anyway? I've heard about him.
Nate Silver?
Yeah.
He's really smart, is what he is. He's one of the guys that started the PECOTA system, P-E-C-O-T-A, which is it was a way of – he sold this system to Baseball Prospectus and then managed it for 8 years. It's essentially a lot of the stats that can show you that Mike Trout deserves the MVP over Miguel Cabrera.
All right.
And Nate Silver was the architect of a lot of these things and decided to dip his toe into politics as well because he was so good at statistical analysis in baseball.
Oh.
And he nailed it in the last U.S. election. He did not in the last British election. He did quite poorly in the British election, which is what's been giving the right wing a lot of hope that he's totally off base right now.
Because I'm a statistician. I went to McGill, so.
So what can you tell us?
I haven't studied it, but I haven't seen the polls. I've just heard the polls, and, you know.
Well, how accurate is a—I mean, and this may sound ridiculous. I know the last Canadian election, the polling was not accurate at all. They didn't see the orange wave coming in the least. I wonder, when you're only polling 1,000 people, how accurate can it be?
It depends on the question, and it also depends on if people want to tell the truth or not.
Well, of course. And so,
I think it depends greatly on the neighborhood that you're asking these people in.
Too.
Of course. And again, you have to really open yourself up to...
There's so many pollsters
right
now. There's so many of them. And you don't know how well done they are. That's a big problem.
Well, that's the thing. And that's why, you know, it's easy for us liberal lefties to look at someone like Silver and say, well, this guy's done such a great job with baseball. He did such a great job with the last election. I'm going to put my faith in him. And I wonder if that's why you've seen, because there's been an obscene amount of betting on this election.
Okay.
And there has.
I know. It's so stupid.
I mean, even to the point that there's an Irish bookie right now that has already paid out the Obama winning bets.
Wow.
Which I unfathomable to me.
And
I mean,
listen, going
that's
back,
a serious Dewey defeats Truman moment right there.
Going back to that poll thing, even if you were to poll all 360 million some odd people in the United States, let's say magically you were able to do that with some sort of form of technology.
Sure.
Still won't be accurate.
A Will.i.am hologram.
Still won't be accurate.
No, because...
Still won't be accurate because people change their minds. People don't tell you the truth.
And not everybody votes.
So if you think of that statistic and you think of it in that context, polls are full of crap. They really are. They're absolutely meaningless.
Well, hence the plus minus, right?
Right.
Yeah,
things like that.
I should have gone into that business and would have made more money.
I don't know about that.
People pay for it.
Well, I don't know if people pay for it. I think political campaigns pay for it.
Well, they have their own, but the media pays for it.
Exactly. And they've spent over $1 billion so far on this election.
Yeah.
Jerry, when's hockey coming back? When can we stop talking politics on this sports radio station?
I don't know. I wonder when we never should have lost baseball, never mind the hockey.
He's still upset about that.
Yeah.
I don't blame you.
I was happy they came to Washington, D.C., but I was angry. I blame Major League Baseball. And that's why at one time I used to be, you know, when I was in the U.S., when the Blue Jays won, I cheered for them. Now I wouldn't cheer for them because they voted for the Expos extinction.
You know, this is actually something that comes up a lot on this station. And I don't blame the Blue Jays, especially the current incarnation of the Blue Jays. When they did that, they were not owned by the same people that own them now. And
that's true.
I'm pretty sure that if the general manager then was the general manager now from town of Mount Royal, that wouldn't have happened. And I think you might find them a little easier to cheer for next year if they hire Tim Wallach as their manager.
That's true.
Jerry, thanks for the call, man.
Take care, man.
Have a great night.
Yeah, you too. Bye.
All these Canadians voting for Obama. Kind of jealous.
Yeah, well, he'd be a conservative here. So there you go.
Obama would be a conservative
here.
Yeah, probably.
He would be. He'd be in the conservative party.
Really?
Oh yeah, definitely.
No, not with the not with his gay rights, freedom of choice for women's right to choose, things like that.
But he doesn't. You know, people know that about him, but he's not really very clear on it all the time. You know, of course, he wants to stay as middle to the center as he can because that's the only way you get votes. Look at Mitt Romney, his support shot up when he started to be a little less right-leaning and started to move over to the center a little bit more.
Well, I think one of the issues with him is that he hasn't been able to define himself. People don't know whether he's you know, is...
Which is perfect, and that's why people are going to vote for him.
Well, yes and no. I don't think that's such a perfect thing in politics.
It's not a perfect thing, but the thing is, it's good for him for people not to know what he's really thinking.
But why is it that when John Kerry did the exact same thing, he was a flip-flopper?
Because he is a flip-flopper. John Kerry is a flip-flopper.
Okay, but why
every politician is a flip-flopper. Every single one.
First of all, I have no issues with, you know, you and I are having a conversation, and I say something that I think is real smart, and you correct me and manage to convince me that my opinion might not be correct. Suddenly I'm a flip-flopper for changing my mind?
That's right.
How ridiculous is that?
That's right. No, it's not.
You need
to
be a man of your convictions, Mr. Farrar.
Yeah, no, I mean, a flip-flopper, I see flip-flopper, the definition of it, is somebody who changes their opinion on something to accommodate others or to convince others to vote for him. That's what a flip-flopper is.
Right, but it gets taken.
Every politician has done that.
But it gets taken. Well, of course, it's politicking.
That's right. That's right. And, and it works. That's the thing. That's how stupid people are.
Now, if you live in this city, and obviously you're exposed to the American media machine that really is just an hour south to us, it's not going to end tomorrow. Mayor Trombley resigned tonight.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, Mayor Trombley resigned at 7 o'clock this evening.
Good riddance.
And that's it for Jerry.
Jerry.
Salut, bonsoir, Monsieur Trombley. Tried to hold his head high.
Did he?
And give one of those, I didn't do it, nobody saw me do it, you can't prove anything speeches.
I'm still resigning.
All the corruption was around him. Oh, for God and glory, and because I love my city so much, I'm resigning.
Right. Well, good. What a hero.
Run for mayor, Jay.
What a hero. I will run for mayor.
I want to see a Bulworth-style mayoral campaign.
You know what? I can do it. I can run for mayor.
Ghetto superstar.
It's not that hard to run.
That is what you are.
I can bring in the money. People can help me out.
How much money do you need to run a campaign in the city of Montreal?
You need a good chunk. I mean, you can't.
I feel it's more about vote mobilization because nobody votes in those things. So if you can go out and convince people to actually vote for you, you would.
Right. You get like 14 people to vote for you. You probably get the office. You'll get the chair.
I think it was under 40% the last time there was an election.
Hell
which
yeah.
is funny because it's.
I've never voted in a municipal election.
Never. Never. And yet it's the one that affects us the most.
It
Way
does.
Way more than on federal.
I agree.
Way more.
I agree. That's the one you should actually vote. I'm actually support. You should vote in a municipal election. See, I'm actually
Look
saying
at
that.
You.
The guy who never votes for anything. I say vote in the and vote for me. I'm going to run. I'm going to run. Jay Farrar for mayor. It's a beautiful
stupid?
You people are full of crap. Crap. Crap.
This is the crap I have to hear.
Did you hear what I said?
It makes you a slut.
Macaca or whatever his name is.
Grow up.
They don't get who we are.
It's ugly.
Lying.
Lie to.
Is a liar.
Lie.
Blatant lies.
I'm turning into a freaking televangelist.
Binders full of women.
Sexist.
Stupid.
This is absolutely despicable.
Bloodsuckers.
Thugs and psychos.
Dumb.
You didn't build that.
You did build that.
Rabid right wing.
You're listening to The Kaufman Show, and we'll be back.
Songs.
Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar. We're about to shift gears. But first, I will inform you that our wonderful producer, Jimmy G, just pulled up his computer screen and informed me that Nate Silver has now bumped up his odds on Barack Obama winning the election to 92%.
Wow.
Yeah, if you like underdogs, bet Romney, huh?
I think I will.
All right.
I think I'll do that. I'll put $2 on him.
$2 on Romney.
$2 on Romney.
Well, you can...
still make a good you'll, small fortune out of it.
Yeah, you'll make like $8.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah. $8.
Let's bring in our next guest. We are very lucky to be joined by our basketball correspondent. We've searched high and low, and we have to go all the
way... We needed help.
We did. And we have to go all the way to Lubbock, Texas to find one. His name is Max Kerman. He's a friend of mine, and he's soon to be a friend of yours. He's going to give us basketball knowledge that we are sorely lacking. Mr. Kerman, welcome to the program.
Hey, well, thank you very much. I'm honored.
How are you, sir?
The NBA correspondent. I'm very good.
Good. I figure this is your proving ground, and if you nail this over the season, then we'll put in a good word with Kornheiser, and you'll be his basketball guy next year.
Oh, yeah, no, I wouldn't want to do that. He'd tear me apart. I'd be afraid to be a
well,
You're easing me into this in a very kind way, Dave.
We'll be a lot more gentle than Tony Kornheiser, I promise you. Although Jay's a bit more of a tough dude. Say hello to Max, Jay.
Hey, Max, how's it going, buddy?
Good, I'm very good.
Good, don't listen to Kaufman. I'm a nice guy. You know that.
All right, Max, let's get started. We're the biggest thing in the NBA, I would say, you know, from my huge knowledge of the league, at least, in the first week, is this Harden deal. Signed a 5-year, $80 million contract, went from being the number one sixth man in the NBA with Oklahoma to being the go-to guy in Houston. How do you think he's going to do in the backcourt with Jeremy Lin?
Well, after the first two games, it's looking really good. The Oklahoma City Thunder were my favorite team to follow after the Toronto Raptors, and I'm still sort of in mourning right now because the departure was so sudden. But, right now it looks like Sam Presti, the general manager of the Oklahoma City Thunder, is probably backpedaling a little bit because in the first two games, James Harden was averaging 38 points a game, and he looked like he was a top five, top 10 guy in the whole league. And I think for a GM to give up a guy who looks that good because he didn't want to pay the money, I don't know, is a pretty unforgivable thing for basketball fans, for people who love to follow the sport. So, right now the Houston Rockets are looking about, I don't know, 20 times better than they did about a week ago. No one foresaw them even being a playoff contender, but now they look like they could probably squeak in as a seventh or eighth seed in the West.
Which seems, I mean, unfathomable to me right now, especially from an Oklahoma City point of view. I mean, they were within one good week of winning the championship, basically. One LeBron choke of winning the championship. And then to lose their sixth man, it just, if I was a fan, I'd be losing my mind right now.
No, I know. That's what the most disappointing thing is. You know, people even forget they were up, they're up one game to nothing in the finals.
That's right.
And they were within, I don't know, 2 minutes of going up two games to none. And the thing that made Harden, Westbrook, and Durant such a likable trio is that they all seem to like each other. They all seem to play really well with each other. I know there's a little bit of sort of like, who's going to be the alpha dog between Westbrook and Durant. But Harden was never in that conversation. Harden was the guy who was happy to come off the bench. He was the guy happy to fill in when the other guys weren't scoring. He was the guy who would run the second unit in a way that nobody else in the league could. And he did it all with a smile on his face. So to see them, all accounts say that he was totally shocked that he was traded. And I think it's a situation that if you have the good fortune to draft, 3 years in a row, guys that end up being top 10, 15, top 10 or top 15 players in the league, you got to do everything you can to keep them and to sign them. And from what it sounds like, the owner of the Oklahoma City Thunder just didn't want to sign him.
Yeah, well, we all know about Clay Bennett around here. Not a very popular guy. Anybody who's seen that Sonic Skate movie can't feel very warm and fuzzy about him and what he's done.
No, not at all.
Now, meanwhile, they play the Raptors tomorrow night.
Does Houston have that?
Oklahoma City.
Oh, the Thunder. Oh, geez.
Yeah, they play the Raptors tomorrow night. The game is on TSN, and this is one of the. I mean, the Raptors playing Brooklyn is one thing, but Oklahoma City, they're the defending West Coast champions. Good litmus test for Toronto. Do you think they're a playoff team?
Toronto? Yeah, I don't know. I've get excited about Toronto every season. Like the last two or three years before the season started, my friends would get really excited and tell me why I ought to be like stoked for the season and that the Raptors have a really good chance. And this year, it seems like the experts, you know, John Hollinger and the ESPN stat geeks, really seem to like them as maybe a seventh or eighth seed in the East. But I'm not getting my hopes up. I think a lot of things have to come together for the Raptors to make a push. I mean, the other thing that they have going for them is that the East is a pretty weak conference compared to the West, and it's pretty middle-heavy. Miami sits at the top, and there's a bunch of teams that could kind of go in either direction. Like, for instance, Indiana, you know, they made it to the conference finals. Or no, they were in the conference semifinals. But they looked great last year, but a lot of people are saying, you know, that was a product of good luck, and they didn't have many injuries. And but I think there's a lot of teams in the East that could go either way depending on the performances they get from the players. So is Bargnani going to be any good? I don't know. Is Calderon going to be effective as a backup point guard? I don't know. Is DeMar DeRozan going to be, you know, worth the $25 million? How much did he sign for? I don't know. The millions of dollars that he just signed for? I don't know. I'm not counting on any of them. So so if they make the playoffs, I'll be extremely happy. And if they don't, I won't be surprised at all.
We're in conversation with Kauffman Show basketball correspondent Max Kerman, Dave Kauffman, and Jay Farrar.
Max, recently the Raptors had an exhibition game here in Montreal against the New York Knicks. Every time the Raptors come into Montreal and they hold an NBA exhibition game, it sells out, it does really well. Yet there doesn't seem to be an outcry here in Montreal for a team. I mean, they're happy to go to the game, and everybody's enthusiastic about it. That's what I got the feeling of. What do you think is could it ever be possible that we can get a second Canadian team back after the loss of Vancouver?
Yeah, you know, I don't think so, at least not right now. I know there's been a bit of a push in Vancouver, but you know, from living in Canada my whole life, but also spending a lot of time in the States on tour, there's a real difference in the way, you know, Canadians and Americans consume sports. And if you go to a sports bar anywhere in Canada, Quebec, Ontario, the Pear Prairies, on a Saturday night, there's no way there's ever going to be a basketball game on. There's always going to be, you know, hockey. And
We had one on Saturday.
Really?
I disagree.
Yeah, because there's no hockey, Jay.
That's right.
That's true. I mean, if the NHL lockout lasts for the next 15 years, then maybe people are going to have to find a new interest. But I think right now, you know,
including the hockey players.
Sorry?
I said including the hockey players. They'll have to learn how to play basketball for lockout for 15 years.
Yeah, they'll need to find a new sport to play as well. Yeah, so I mean, I think that, you know, between like the CFL that does well in some parts of the country and obviously hockey, I think there's only so much room, to be honest. You know, right now I'm in Lubbock, Texas, and, you know, they're crazy about football down here, and it was awesome. We checked into the Holiday Inn tonight, and everybody was just in the lobby watching Monday Night Football, and they had, like, their handlebar mustaches and cowboy hats, and I was like, oh, this feels like Texas. It's really great. And I think, it was, you know, the same thing can be said for Canada with hockey. I mean, I think, like a lot of other sports, there's always going to be a niche interest in it, and I think Toronto, you know, given its population and maybe its demographics, can support a basketball team. But right now, I don't see another NBA team coming to Canada. That's just my feeling on it.
No, I think it's economically, I don't see it happening anytime soon either. The amount of money that it costs, it's such a larger scale operation than even hockey is.
Yeah.
No, it's true. Yeah, it's a bigger product, and yeah, and I think that, you know, the history with the game isn't as deep, I don't think, in Canada. You know, for instance, I was just in Portland, and it was really cool because the Trailblazers are really the only team they have in Portland. They don't have a baseball team or, like, a professional baseball team, you know, a hockey team, you know, a football team. I think they just got – yeah, they have an MLSC team. But the people there really know their basketball. And if you go to different parts of the country, you know, if you're in North Carolina – and people really know their college hoops. If you go to New York City, obviously, the Knicks are beloved there, and I guess now the Brooklyn Nets will be as well. But, yeah, I mean, I think in order for a sport that that is such a big business like basketball to survive in the country, you need, or in a market, you need, you know, people that are genuinely interested in it. And so I think there are, I'd probably list 10 markets in the U.S. that are probably more ready for a basketball team.
Fair enough, Max. When's your next show?
Our next show is tomorrow, actually, Election Day. We're going to be in Austin. It's going to be so exciting. We're going to be on a blue island in a red sea, which is what they call Austin, Texas, because you know, the rest of the state is very Republican.
Do you plan on keeping people up to speed while you're on stage, or are you going to just allow people to forget about their troubles for an evening?
No, you know, I just heard the stats. You know, Nate Silver's stats that you just rhymed off before I was on the air there. So I don't know. I'm pretty hopeful.
Yeah.
Right?
Austin, yeah, of course, think, Max, is the only place in Texas that will vote for him. I think, and that's what allows the numbers to be so close. They say that the popular vote is going to end up being something like 51-49 or something in that range, and it's because everywhere else in Texas is voting for Romney, and that little blue dot is going to be the only place that gives him any percentage of the vote in that state.
Yeah, no, I know. I know. I mean, the electoral college system is like such a silly democratic system, but we won't get into that. But I will say that when I remember distinctly in 2008, it was our first real tour that we did across the country. We opened for Matt Maes, who's like a killer rock and roller from Halifax, Nova Scotia.
The Cocaine Cowboy.
Cocaine Cowboy. And we were in Ottawa for election night when Barack Obama became the first black president of the United States. And I remember just being so excited about it. And so it's going to be definitely really interesting this time to be in America and just, you know, I make an effort every morning when we check out of the hotel to grab a local newspaper and, you know, we watch local news. And so to get a slice of the culture down here is one of the things I really like about touring the States, because I know it's definitely different than home and it's not necessarily what I'd prefer, but to observe it for brief periods of time is something that I really value and I really like.
Max Kerman is the Kaufman Show basketball correspondent. Hopefully you will join us soon, good sir. And
hey, this is thrilling for me. I just want to say that my personal Twitter account, I really only use to follow sports writers, like basketball writers. And a fan of the Arkells tweeted me the other day and said, "Hey, I know this is only for basketball stuff, but would you mind playing Abigail at the show?" But I thought it was so cute that the girl was very considerate of the space I need for sports in my life. So thank you very much for having me on the show, and I look forward to doing it again.
Good. We'll do it soon. And anybody who wants to follow Max and communicate with him, you're better off through the @ArkellsMusic Twitter account.
That's the one.
Thank you, sir. We'll speak soon.
Thank you, Dave.
Have a great night. There he goes, Max Kerman, Kaufman Show basketball correspondent. Jay, I think he passed the audition.
Yeah.
Dad was looking for that Hollywood sign. There was a time when I could only impress you. You could tell by now I'm only guessing. Through hard times, but we're on this one.
Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. Censored version. But those uncensored ones were fun, weren't they, Jay?
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I know you did.
It's right up my alley.
I know it is. I know it is. It was not the little one we did, not the short one we did a few weeks ago, but the one that we did on week one of the NFL season when there was the doubleheader with when we had Dave Zirin on with us.
Yes.
That one, it was difficult coming back to TSN 690 afterwards and not swearing.
Right. I have that difficulty every time I do a show.
Do you? Oh,
I feel, I hold back.
I feel like I can turn it off.
Oh, I can't.
I mean, occasionally you'll hear me stall on something or nervously laugh, and it's probably to mask.
I can't turn it off. Well, you know, I mean,
well,
my other job, I can, but I have to, you know, but yeah, I'm a sailor, man. I just, I've got a foul, foul mouth.
Well, you're a noble sailor, Mr. Farrar.
Well, thank you.
You guys did some pretty cool stuff down at the bar yesterday. Why don't you tell our audience about it?
Yes, we had a special charity event for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society or whatever to combat these diseases. It was in the name of Donnie DeLiva Sr., who is a gentleman that passed away in 1984. His son, Donnie DeLiva Jr., is a good friend of the pub, used to be a manager, and it built up. But eventually we had friends such as Chris Nyland and John Bartlett came down and Chantal Desjardins, and we had a lot of fun. We raised $5,000, gave away some great prizes, and it was a long, long day. It was a long day, but you know what? Well worth it.
When you can raise $5,000 for charity, it's worth having a long day every once in a while.
It is, and we're going to do it every year now. It was a lot of fun.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've noticed at home, but we've been running a commercial throughout the show. Jimmy, would you mind hitting it one more time? Here we go. Here it is.
Hi there. This is Jay Baruchel inviting you to a great party for a great cause. I hope to see you on Friday, November 23rd at Espace Reunion for the Kids for Kids 20th Anniversary Party, The Enchanted Garden, furnished by Lux Rentals. Co-lead sponsor Pivotal Payments invites you to a VIP cocktail at 7 p.m., followed by a night of dancing to benefit Sarah's Fund of the Cedars Cancer Institute. All the money raised goes to helping kids with cancer, so come party. For info, tickets, or to donate, you can call 843-1606 or go to kidsforkids.ca.
Thank you, Mr. Baruchel. Looking forward to seeing you at the event on November 23rd. I'm on the board for this year, Jay, which is kind of cool.
Good for you.
Yeah, I'm super excited to be a part of it. My very good friend Adrian Hindle runs this event every year, and she does such a great job. I've known Adrian since we grew up across the street from each other, so I've known her since I was 2 years old.
Aww.
And anything I can do to help make this event a success, I really, this cause is very close to my heart. This is what we raised money for, you and I, Mr. Farrar, when we held our Gary Carter event at Hurley's Irish
yes,
Pub.
Yes, that's right.
Last March.
Yes.
And 1,000 tickets will be sold for this event. $50, well worth it. It's $150 if you want to come to the VIP, which includes cocktails. I can't remember which champagne company, but one of them sponsors it. And there's food catered by Biche, which I like to call Bice because I'm not that classy.
Biche?
Yeah.
It's a good name.
You like it better than Bice?
Oh, of course. Biche? You kidding?
I don't know. It's spelled Bice.
Isn't that an Italian female dog? It's a biche, isn't it?
Is that how that works?
Yeah.
We're still
it's
on
an Italian female dog.
We're still
it?
On the censored podcast.
Oh, sorry.
And I'm trying to get people to come to this benefit.
Sorry. Count on me to ruin it, huh?
It's at Espace Reunion, which is at 6600 Hutchison. Jay, you were there 2 weeks ago, surrounded by Jews.
There were Jews everywhere.
There were.
Yeah.
It was the Le Mood Festival.
Yeah.
See the picture I put up on Facebook from it?
No, I didn't.
With I'm on stage and I'm talking and Jonah Carey's looking and Mitch Melnick's looking and Bill Brownstein's looking, and whatever I said at that point, Mitch looks like he's about to throttle me or something.
Well, that could have been at any point then. If Mitch wants to throttle you for something you said, it most likely was at any point at the time you were talking.
You can, the number that Jay Baruchel read out in that commercial, and you'll be hearing that commercial all over the radio, all over town in the next 2 weeks. 843-1606. You can call the lovely Casey Taba and get your tickets for this event in advance. It will sell out. It's the party of the year.
I wish I can go.
I wish you could go too, Jay.
What day is it on?
It is November the 23rd.
Ah.
I believe you are working.
What day of the week is that?
It's a Friday night.
Yeah, I'll be working.
Yeah, I know. I know. I'll have a drink for you.
Well, thank you.
I was actually there with your brother last year.
Yes.
Hung out with your brother.
He might
most
be there
the
be there again this year,
will
too.
Will he be back in town by then?
I think he will be. He's supposed to be here in the last week of November, so.
If he isn't, I will give you his Gary Carter jersey.
Oh, good.
Because I've had that thing for too damn long.
That's okay. If you give it to me, I'm going to keep it. He can buy another one. I don't care about him.
Oh, wow. We can go back through the archives.
Yeah.
And I think 3 weeks ago, where you demanded it, you said that I was withholding it from the Farrar clan.
Did I accuse you of that? That's
Jacques
a terrible thing to say. J'accuse. That was an awful thing. Why would I say something like that?
I don't know.
I don't care. I just want the jersey.
I think you just miss your brother.
Yeah. Yeah, Mom.
I know you miss your brother.
I'll just watch one of his stupid videos, and then I'll feel like I've seen him. And then he'll annoy me, and then I don't want to see him anymore.
Well, you could watch one of the cool ones as compared to one of the stupid ones.
Right? Yeah.
Lord knows there are plenty.
He put up a good one today in honor of the election tomorrow, a song called No Scruples. I would suggest that you go on YouTube and take a look at it. It's called No Scruples by Anakin Slade, and it's a very good video. Very funny.
Are there naughty words on it, Mr. Farrar?
There are naughty words.
Oh, then we
but there is
it.
A clean version somewhere, but I don't know where it is.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe we'll play it for next week to reflect the local political
yes
storm that we're about to encounter.
Yeah. Yeah. He really talks about celebrity status and politicians.
If we keep calling it the Carboneau Commission, can we talk about it on this station?
The Carboneau Commission.
The Carboneau Commission.
You want to change it around a little bit?
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
And and Mario Tremblay resigned today.
So we're going to call China after the break.
Oh.
Does that mean we have to get all like mentions of democracy and Tiananmen Square out of the way now, just in case the censors are listening?
Or do we bring up Tiananmen Square?
I don't see how we could in a conversation about hockey in China. If you can make the segue, I totally want to hear it.
I'd have to work on it, but maybe I can figure something out.
Well, we've got a commercial break to figure it out.
Okay.
Jimmy, let's take a little break. I think we're going to need that whole break to dial all those numbers. How many is that? 3, 5, 8, 12. 16 digits to call China. Look at that. Hey, first time for everything. All night long.
Tele-automatic slim. Tele-raise toad and gym. Tele-butcher knife toad patty. Tele-fast talking fanny. A wig on pitchy ball. Trouble is this country's too goddamn big.
That is Petrol Blues from the Rolling Stones live on the Kaufman Show. Well, they're not live, but we are. I mean, I guess when they recorded it, it was live, right? Isn't that how that works?
No, I have no idea.
Okay.
You're asking me?
Not
Why would
really.
I know that?
I'm just rambling right now.
Okay.
It's called filling time.
Why?
You got to make that motion with your
Why
with
do we
your
need
hands.
To fill time?
Well, because we got blown off by the Washington censors earlier.
Okay.
And we'll have to reconvene with Dave Zirin at some point.
Yeah.
It's weird to think that we could easily reach Lubbock, Texas tonight, but the capital of the free world was a little bit tougher.
The capital of the free world. Give me a break. I hate that. Sorry.
Do you?
I'm just getting annoyed. Okay. I hate that. The leader of the free world. Screw you. He's your leader. He ain't my leader.
Dear leader?
Dear leader?
Dear leader.
Yeah.
The benevolent one?
The benevolent one. Yeah. The almighty.
Kim Jong-un. You're right? That's where we're going with this?
No.
No? Live from Pyongyang.
I'm talking about Barack Obama, how people say he's the leader of the free world.
Barry.
Barry?
Barry Obama.
We call him Barry now?
Well,
we got to whiteicize his name? Is that what we're doing?
Is it called white? Is this the whiteicization?
You're whiteicizing his name. That's what you're doing.
I don't think that's a very fair way to put it. I think that's borderline racist to call it whiteicization.
Is it?
Borderline.
Okay.
Well, I don't know. It's just,
like what they used to do.
The presidential election is on Tuesday. According to the polls, Obama and Romney are still neck and neck. Both campaigns made their final push today. Romney has a very strong lead among white voters, but some prominent Obama supporters are looking to chip into that. And our friend Chris Rock is one of them. Chris Rock is from Brooklyn, here in Brooklyn. And tonight he's recorded a special message for us targeted specifically at undecided voters of the Caucasian variety. So listen and decide for yourself.
Hi, I'm Chris Rock with a special message for white people. In times like these, you need a white president you can trust. And that white president's name is Barack Obama. Let's take a look at the facts. For the first two-thirds of his life, Barack Obama was known as Barry, which is the third whitest name on Earth, right after Cody and Jeff. And these are the white people who raised Barry. Madeline and Stanley Dunham. They're so white they have to wear sunglasses because they're hurting each other's eyes. After college, Barry went into black neighborhoods in Chicago to try to organize people. How white is that? Black people don't go into black communities. We don't have to. We're already there. Look at them, playing golf, body surfing, wearing mom jeans, dancing with Ellen. Barack Obama supports gay marriage. Most black men don't even support straight marriage. President Obama has a dog. But is it a pit bull? Is it a Rottweiler? No. It's a Portuguese water dog. And he named him Bo, after one of the Dukes of Hazzard. And let's not forget, Barack Obama is whiter than Snooki, the tanning mom, and Tara Reid. Even Mitt Romney is blacker than Obama. This is Obama's family. And these are the Romneys. Look at that. Kids, cousins, aunts, uncles. Mitt Romney's family has more people in it than a Tyler Perry movie. And if you're still not convinced, check this out.
I, Barack Hussein Obama, do solemnly swear.
I am a white guy.
So help me God.
If you want a white president, I've got a polo-wearing, Hawaii-living, home-beer-brewing, league-bowling guy for you. Barry Obama. He's just white.
Paid for by Chris Rock the Vote.
Our thanks to the Jimmy Kimmel Show and to the best. Love Chris Rock.
I was not aware of that.
Oh, no?
No.
Oh, I like when you're surprised.
Well, yeah, because people do whiteicize people's names. Like Roberto Clemente used to call him Bobby.
Sure.
And he hated it. He couldn't stand it. They changed George Bell, who's Latino, I believe, and it was...
From the Dominican Republic.
You know? Yeah. And it was Jorge. His name's Jorge. And they changed it to George, even the spelling of it, to Bell. Wow. If you look in his earlier baseball cards... It was spelled Jorge, J-O-R-G-E.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, the forced anglicization of things, eh?
Yeah.
Not
Caucasian people are evil. They are, at heart. They're soulless, evil people, especially the redheaded ones.
Like Lieutenant Brody?
That's right.
Is that where that's going?
No, he's got a heart. I sympathize with that character.
Do you sympathize with
I do.
The terrorist?
I feel bad for him. I listen. The guy's had it rough, you know? What do you want? I'd be worse than he is.
He's between a rock and a hard place.
Oh, will you? God.
I couldn't help myself.
Yeah.
Wow, that's an interesting, for anybody who doesn't know what Jay and I are talking about, we're not talking about a real life issue.
I didn't mean to
this will not
insult
affect
any gingers or anything, but
this will not affect the election tomorrow.
No.
Except that anybody who saw SNL this weekend is now aware that Soy una blanca, blancas amo homeland, es tiempo para homeland. See, homeland. White people like homeland.
Yes, they do.
This was El Bloombito, the Bloomberg Spanish.
Oh, okay.
If you've ever... Bloomberg speaks Spanish. Oh, goodness. What would be a good example?
Like you speak French.
I didn't want to go there, but yes. Yes. It's a... the Spanish-English hybrid doesn't sound so different from the franglais that's spoken here.
Right.
So... Have you figured out the segue yet for our next guest? Because we're going to try and call China right now.
Okay.
We are going to try and call China.
I was going to ask. I was going to say, listen, what kind of style of hockey do they play?
Mm-hmm.
Do they play the North American type hockey or do they play the European type hockey? And if they play the North American type hockey,
yes,
are they the kind of players that would stand in front of a tank?
Oh, okay. Okay. I like it. Okay. I like it. I was thinking more like defensemen built like a tank.
But, yeah.
Again, you seem to have something going on there.
Yeah. It was a reach, but I think I pulled it off.
A squared defense, maybe, or a,
yeah, something like that.
You know, what was the July 16th trap? We're just saying enough things right now that the censors are not going to allow this call to go through. Right?
Probably not. Okay. In fact, I almost guarantee they won't.
Well, in the name of democracy and good government, let's get on the phone.
Let's call
China.
The capital of the unfree world.
That's right. We struck out on Washington. Let's see if we can get Beijing. Oh, you've got to be really. Is that wow? That's a lot of.
It's a lot of numbers. Well, there's a lot of people there. they gotta hand out a lot of different numbers. Oh,
sounds like somebody in China is busy. Well, okay. Well, unless that suddenly becomes non-busy signal, I don't know how things work over there.
But... Okay. See, they got to us.
They got to us.
The commies. The commies got to us.
Okay, let's try a different tack, Jay.
Okay.
China is one of the greatest countries in the world, and they're a beacon for economics and culture, history, the arts. They've done more for society and the growth of, hell, America right now than just about anybody else.
That's right.
Now that we've discussed how much we like China. Oh, can we, will it sound patronizing if we say we like the food too? Probably a little bit, eh?
That is a little patronizing.
Yeah, okay.
The kind of Chinese food we eat is not very accurate.
I retract that statement.
Yeah.
Yao Ming was a hell of a basketball player. Let's try China one more time.
Okay, let's try that again. Okay. You think that'll work?
I don't know. We'll see.
Several of the products that I have in my house were made in China. Several of them. So, I'm just saying.
I want to hear those numbers, Jimmy.
I support your economy. China.
Come on, China. Do us a solid. America already kind of screwed us tonight. So,
yes.
Let's see this. Here we go. Jimmy, into the mic, please. No, you. I want to know what's going on.
Just having some technical difficulties here. Give me a second.
That's I've never heard of that happening at this station. That's wild.
Never happens.
Unreal. Everything always works here.
Everything.
Yeah, remember when...
Even the earphones.
Remember during the update when Marco yelled that out? Everything works here!
Yeah.
Such a wonderful feeling to know that everything works here. I have a feeling we're not going to reach China tonight. I feel like we're kind of on a slow boat right now trying to make this happen.
Did you get the number right, or?
I definitely got the number right.
You sure?
Oh, I don't know.
There's a lot of numbers.
I don't know. He just tweeted out another one. Jimmy, I'm gonna pass you my phone, and you're going to take a look at this. Hold on. I got to pull it up for you. I know you're not on Twitter, so. All right. There you go. The top one right there. It has been tried yesterday. Mr. Simon in China, we are trying to reach you. And to everybody else listening, far and wide, could be in China. You could be in India. You could be in the continental Americas. You could be in Europe. We don't know. Frankly, oh, no, we care. That again, I don't want to sound patronizing. This is like that Chinese food thing from 2 minutes ago all over again, Jay. This is going pear-shaped real fast.
That's the second time you've used that terminology.
God.
Well, what does that mean, pear-shaped? I don't know that.
I guess
it fascinates me.
Well, I think you can picture a pear and think about the way it's shaped, and that's what this is.
I will do that later tonight when I'm alone in the dark.
Hey, man, whatever floats your boat.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Jimmy, same one? Same number not working? All right, the sensors have gotten to us.
Okay.
We will try Mark Simon in China at another time.
So, two down.
Yeah. But we had Max Kerman tonight.
Yes, we did.
And so, which made this a basketball show.
Yes.
And it was a fantastically riveting basketball show.
We've heard Jay Baruchel several times as well.
We have. We would like to
thank our good friend, Jay Baruchel. We'll
thank our guests, Max Kerman and Jay Baruchel. And in between that, we talked about the election. This was fun. We're going to keep going.
When's hockey going to come back?
Honest to God. They're meeting tomorrow. I don't know why everybody, all sports media pundits, were talking about how the Steve Fear and Bill Daly met in a marathon session that ended at 1 o'clock in the morning on Saturday. You realize that if they'd gone one more hour, it still would have ended at one.
Right? Mm-hmm. Of course.
Yeah. So we don't know how long that thing really went. No. And frankly, 1 a.m. does not impress me.
1 a.m.? Are you kidding? I'm just getting started at 1 a.m.
That's it. That's,
you nuts? That's morning.
For all of you listening on the wonderful, wonderful, technologically advanced podcast that we have at thekaufmanshow.podbean.com, please know that it's 1 in the morning right now, and Jay and I have both hit our stride.
That's right. Are you kidding me?
I think they should be meeting through
this
the night.
This is prime time.
I think they should be meeting through the
night. Oh, God forbid. God forbid they should put anything on the line. Jerks.
Come back so we can spend our money on your product.
Come by. You know what? I hope there's a whole bunch of empty arenas when they do come back. I hope. I know it's not going to happen, but I would love for that to happen. Let me dream a little bit.
No, I'm on board for your dreams. Yeah. I will foster and nurture your dreams, Jay Farrar. I'd like to see that too. And I'll tell you what. My first game, I will not go. I will leave the tickets as long as my buddy Chris, who I share my tickets with, is okay with it.
And you're going to see how it feels?
We will leave our tickets in the book. That's okay. I don't know if people can hear it or not. I know we can hear it. I can hear it too. Jimmy is on the phone with somebody right now.
And he's mad at him. Is it China?
It's not. Is this is about to happen? Wow. Well, we haven't been able to reach China tonight. And we had some issues reaching America tonight. So we've tried to reach the bastion of democracy in Washington, and we've tried to reach the what did George Bush call it? The capital of freedom in China?
The capital of freedom?
We're still trying to get on their good side, Jay.
Oh, okay.
The capital of freedom?
Well, not with a quote from George Bush. You're not going to get on their good side.
Please, they made more money in America under George Bush than
I could imagine.
Administration put together.
Not as much as the Saudis did. But anyway.
Different conversation.
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah.
That's a tough one to do on the Kaufman.
Do we have a correspondent in Saudi Arabia? That'd be awesome.
We will work on it.
Okay.
We will work on it. But in the meantime, we will go to the birthplace of democracy. Let's go to Athens, Greece, and say hello to George, who I feel like his version of God's country is going to differ a bit today. Hello. Good morning, George.
Good morning. I'm calling from the beautiful capital of the world, Athens, Greece. How's it going, guys?
We're great. How are you?
Enjoying the good weather here, that's for sure.
Well, you trying to make us jealous? It snowed today, George. What are you? Come on. How's the economy, man?
The economy is really bad here, let me tell you that much.
Well, at least you're there helping it out.
Yesterday I came into Athens port in Piraeus, and there was no taxis, there was no metro. I was just stranded there. And I called everybody and anybody I could think of to come and pick me up. That's how bad it is, because there's a general strike going on now for the next 2 days, so there's absolutely nothing moving.
So what are you doing well, that's okay. You're in Greece and the weather's nice. You can just sit on a beach, right? You don't need to move.
Exactly. Well, I was on the beach on Sunday, you know, 31 degrees, and I was taking a nice swim, and I was thinking about everybody in Montreal, you know, and I was hoping that it was, like, snowing so I could rub it in.
Thanks, George.
But I thought, you know what, I was listening to your show. I was listening to your show, and I woke up a little bit earlier this morning, and I was tuning into the Dave Kaufman Show with Jay Farrar. Can you imagine that? I mean, you're reaching Athens now, and I said to myself, you're having a discussion, you're trying to call China. So I said, okay, let's go meet somewhere in between Athens and Beijing. And so here I am. I just called it to say hi.
Wow, that 690 frequency really does get out there, doesn't it?
Yeah. Hey, listen, you know what? The internet is a great tool because here I am. I'm like so far away, but yet I'm still able to keep in touch with you guys and listen to your show when you're on the air on Monday. So that's a great feeling.
George, that's awesome that you are listening online, that you are such a devoted TSN 690 listener, that even on vacation in Greece, you're still listening to the show. We really appreciate it, man.
Have a nice night and hope to see you. I'll be coming in next Monday. So we'll keep in touch, all right, Dave?
Wonderful, George. Have a safe trip back and have a wonderful time. Soak up the sun for us, please.
Thank you very much. Take care.
Have
so
a good night.
Day.
Have a good
Yasu,
day.
Yasu, George.
What was that? That's say it one more time.
Yasu.
Yasu.
Yeah.
That would be thank you or goodbye.
Yeah, it's like...
It's like shalom.
It's like shalom.
All right.
Yeah. It's a greeting and a departing gesture.
I believe that in China, the proper greeting is ni hao. Depending on where you're from. I think I learned that from Big Bird back in the day, who I hope doesn't get
there. There are many dialects. Yes.
We couldn't reach him, but he's able to reach us. Let's now welcome to the Kaufman Show Mark Simon, who is, we had some trouble reaching him tonight, but Mark is in China, and an old friend of mine grew up in TMR with me. He was the best hockey player in TMR when I was growing up, and now he's out there making sure that a bunch of Chinese kids are now going to beat us in hockey. Hey, Mark, how are you?
Hey, Dave. Good, man. How are you?
Good. Nice to hear your voice.
Yeah, you too. Well, I hear yours all the time, I guess. But yeah, good to be on.
You don't sound so far away, I've got to say.
Good, good, good. Yeah, I don't know what happened there, but glad I was able to get through.
I'm so happy that you were able to evade the censors, because we sure weren't. We were having all kinds of trouble tonight.
Depending on what I say, the censors may still get us.
They might barge in, so we'll have to. We'll be very careful. We got all of the bad words out of the way, and now we're just going to talk a little sports with you. And cool. So you've been out there since 2006. You went out to teach English, like a lot of Westerners do, and you got the hockey bug even there, right?
Yeah, I mean, like I told you before, I didn't expect there to be any hockey at all, so I just kind of gave it up, didn't bring my stuff over, and then after I decided I really liked it and wanted to come back, I said, you know, let me check to see if there's anything going on, and found the men's league, so there's about 100 guys playing, and similar to a beer league back home, and from there, met, you know, one of a couple of buddies, and one guy was involved with coaching, and a place opened up for the following season, and the rest is history.
How much has it grown in the 6 years that you've been there?
A lot. In, you know, the first year of any kind of league in Beijing, there was four teams in one age group, so about, you know, 50, 60 kids playing. And then, you know, the next year it grew to three age groups and about, you know, 12 teams. And then, sorry, I'm in a subway, so pardon the PA announcing.
Okay. We had no idea what that was.
Now it's basically up to, you know, close to 400 or 500 kids playing hockey in Beijing alone. So it's really grown and mostly in a good way. In the little note I wrote to you before, you probably saw there's a few kind of negatives as well. But it's taken off. And, you know, I think part of that has to do with, you know, the Olympics in general. You know, Beijing Olympics in 2008 kind of got people into just the whole Olympic scene. And then, you know, the Vancouver Olympics where hockey was such a big thing. And that kind of kept people's attention. So I think it's, all of that. And then the women's curling team here does well. So that has a relation to sort of ice sports. So all these kind of little factors add into why it's growing.
What's the quality of the game like out there, Mark?
The quality of the game for the kids, I guess, is skill wise, it's pretty good. You know, like the most of the coaches here are ex national team players, and the Chinese national team is usually in the second or third kind of world group, so they're not great with the men. The women have had some success. Obviously, it's easier to kind of climb that ladder through the world ranks than with the men. So the technical coaching is pretty good. So the skills can get passed on fairly well. But unfortunately, the it's lacking with, you know, teamwork, work ethic, attitude. You know, for example, if a kid gets slashed, instead of turning away and saying, okay, you're going to get a penalty, they'll say, well, I got to slash you back harder. So that's in a nutshell, that's kind of some of the issues.
So Don Cherry will love these guys a lot more than the Russians when they started making NHL, right?
Absolutely. Bobby Parker will them too.
So they play more of a North American style game, I guess.
Well.
Or they watch too much TV. It's one or the other.
I think unfortunately, it's dirty. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's not gritty. It's dirty. Everyone loves grit, but I wrote a note to Dave there in advance, and it has to do with the faith thing, like losing faith. I don't want to be seen as the guy who got hit and I didn't stand up for
right.
myself and hit back. Whereas the right thing to do is say, okay, you're getting a penalty, we got a power play, and that's that. So that's a bit of the issue.
But these are all things that can only be sort of taught through time, and I guess not having hockey, and I mean, obviously this year doesn't count, but I'd imagine that you can't watch the NHL on a nightly basis in China on your local television, right?
For sure, yeah. I mean, that's a big issue. Definitely a huge thing. Being able to watch hockey and be around, pro hockey and, quote-unquote real hockey, is tough, and it is a factor, but having more positive influence, like from the outside, I'm not saying that, certainly a lot of the Chinese coaches are good. I'm friends with most of them, they're good guys. But that kind of different perspective needs to be brought in here, and the education piece, for parents and players and coaches and managers and everything. That's something that, we all have to try to, everyone who's out here working and it has to try to, figure out a way to get that in here. So everyone understands like the culture of the game and all the things that are important other than, stick handling and passing and slap shots.
You brought a team to the Bell Capital Cup in Ottawa a couple of years back. And I think you're planning on bringing a team to the Pee Wee tournament in Quebec City, right?
Yeah, we did Ottawa in 2008-2009, and that was great. Kids won their division. A very eventful trip, as I noted to you there. There was a fire in the kids' hotel. Their bags got delayed in transit, so I had to borrow equipment. The fire department rushed the bags from the hotel to the rink for the final, so we could play in the final. So it was pretty cool experience, especially for some of the Chinese kids and parents who were there. They couldn't believe their eyes that, the fire department would care to bring hockey bags to a rink from a burning down hotel. Quebec definitely is something I'm hoping to do. I'm kind of having trouble getting the last 3-4 kids to fill out the roster here, so we'll have to see. But definitely something that we're going to do either in either this coming February or hopefully the one after, if not this one.
At what point can, obviously these kids are growing up and you started this 6 years ago and everybody's progressively getting older and older and older. When will we see a more competitive hockey come out of China?
I think for us to say that you'll get a legit team that can compete at sort of the top level, I guess, whether that's, double A in Quebec or triple A in the other provinces, I'd say 5-10 years, I would guess, something like that, where a youth team could sort of compete at the highest level with a North American team. But I think that would also have to be you know, probably a Pee Wee team or lower. You know, I mean, unfortunately, what happens here is that when kids hit the bantam age or high school age, they stop because high school is too competitive and there's too much homework. So the parents just a lot of them just take them out of sports in general and hockey, especially, I guess, because it's more of like a, you know, extra sort of fringe sport here still. So unfortunately, you know, the numbers in Pee Wee will be somewhere around, you know, 80 to 100 kids. And then the next year in Bantam, it drops down to, you know, 25, 30 kids. And then there it goes. So one thing we're also, well, me and other people as well, are trying to kind of get it more into the school system to sort of, you know, have it work in concert with that and not kind of against the school system. So, yeah, that's what we're trying to do now.
Couple of minutes left with Mark Simon. Mark is a hockey coach and organizer living in Shanghai, China right now. Mark, I'm wondering, is it purely an elitist sport right now? I know it's expensive to play hockey here. I can't imagine what it would cost to play there.
Yeah, I wouldn't quite say elitist, but close. It's expensive. Hockey was born in Harbin, in the northeastern part of China. So that's sort of the, you know, where hockey kind of lives. The national team practices out of there. And so a lot of the kids there aren't, you know, rich. So that's, that area or that city is probably the closest thing to, you know, sort of a small town Canadian city where, you know, you don't have to be rich to play hockey. But if you go down to Beijing or Shanghai or Hong Kong or Taiwan, it is. You know, it's definitely the equipment, the ice time, the coaching. It is. And that's unfortunately what leads to some of the issues at times is that, you know, these you know, when you're rich, your attitude is a little bit different than when you're not rich. So that's, you know, unfortunately that leads to some issues. But
yeah, there's an election going on about that in the States tomorrow, actually.
Right. There you go.
Mark, this was fascinating, man. I really appreciate you taking time out of your busy afternoon in Shanghai, China to speak with us tonight.
No problem, Dave. My pleasure. Thanks a lot for having me.
Yeah, and please do get in touch a little closer to if this Quebec trip becomes a reality. We'd love to follow you guys on your travels.
Awesome, Dave.
Thanks Mark.
All right. Take care.
Have a great night. There he goes. Mark Simon, live from Shanghai, China. We just went from a call from Athens to a call from China. And now let's go to the Garden State. We've got Jerry in New Jersey. Hello, Jerry.
Yeah, how you doing? That's pretty fascinating that you were talking to a guy over in China. I actually played over there in Harbin. I think it was 2006 we were over there.
Amazing.
Our guys from New York. We went over and did a tour around China. And we actually played up in Harbin. We actually left our equipment with the kids because they were poor. And actually, one lady tried to give us her son to take home to the States. True story.
Man, Jerry, now, just, we don't get callers from New Jersey very often. You holding up all right? Everything okay where you live?
Everything's good. Power's coming on, although a lot of people still don't have power. But most of the power's come back on now.
Yeah, everything up by the shore looks like it's still a crazy mess. It's been, you know, we were sitting in the studio a week ago exactly as New York and New Jersey were getting absolutely pounded by the storm. And Jay, my co-host, very, very cleverly said, you know, we're watching it right now, but we have no idea until the sun comes up what it's going to be like. And wow, is it just disastrous.
Yeah, it's devastating. Actually, say hello to Jay there. I told him I'd give a call. I was in Montreal over the weekend.
Yeah, Jerry. How you doing, buddy?
What's up, buddy?
I'm so happy you gave us a call. You know, people say they're going to call all the time. You're one of the first who said, yeah, and you actually did. So it's good to hear your voice, man.
I was actually worried about if you were still on the air. I didn't even know.
Oh, we don't go to bed, Jerry.
We'll be here for a while.
The morning show starts and they kick us out.
Excellent. I just got home from my girlfriend's. I'm like, wow, let me see if Jay's up over there.
Yeah. Jerry comes into town, plays some hockey all the time, and comes down, sees me at the pub, and when are we're going to see some hockey soon there, Jer? Because, you know, they're back in meetings tomorrow, so what do you think about that?
I heard that. To tell you the truth, Jay, I'm going to tell you something I told you, I think, the other night. I don't even care anymore as long as I'm playing.
Okay, you see?
Would I rather be watching hockey and not playing myself? No, I'd rather be playing. And, you know, if they're not going to play, then that's their tough luck. Excuse me.
Jerry, I think that's the best attitude to have. I wish more people felt that way.
Yeah, I tell you, Dave there, I got to tell you, I told Jay I have had season tickets for 40 years, my family, my brothers and father and I, 40 years to the Garden.
Wow.
And we just gave them up because we're fed up with, first of all, the renovations. They turned Madison Square Garden into basically a mall or a food court.
It does feel like a mall. I was there for Springsteen in April, and it had a very strange vibe to it. And I know that that's not what it was when in its heyday.
Yeah, they ruined the inside where you could get around. They had aisles, circular aisles on different levels where you could actually get around the stadium inside.
Right.
Now, it's impossible. You got to go out this door, come in this. It's just confusing to everybody. It was nuts. And there's seats now that you can't see the ice from.
Wow.
There are some advantages up top, I have to say, where they put a bar in the end of the end of the arena. There was a nice bar up there that you can watch the game from, inside.
Right.
But then, I don't know. It's just the fact that they raised the prices also, I think 30% is what they were saying they're going to raise them this year.
Yeah, it's you got to wonder if the teams are still going to do that if the season gets canceled.
Right.
I mean, can you think of a dumber business move?
Yeah, right. You're right. Well, it's basically set up now for the corporate.
Yep.
That's the corporate seats, and I guess they don't care about the little guy that supported them. That's how I feel over the years. They're not catering to us. They're catering to the corporate.
Good for you, Jerry, because I've been saying this for weeks now since the lockout started. I said, listen, you don't want this stuff to happen again. Start refraining. Don't buy tickets. Don't go to the games. And teach these guys a little bit of a lesson. Say that without us, without the fan base here, you guys are nothing. You know,
touché.
And I'm glad you had the guts to do what you did and gave up on your season tickets. I know people are still going to go out with them, but you know, it takes 1, 2, 3, 4 people like you, and then you build a little bit of momentum, and then eventually they'll learn their lesson.
Jerry, thanks so much for the call, man.
Oh, you got to go. Okay.
No. Go ahead, please.
Okay. Final thought.
I was going to say a lot of the guys I play with feel the same way, and I mean, really. You know, a lot of people are struggling now that they can't even afford the tickets. And when I had my season tickets, a lot of guys would, you know, be bugging me, can I buy seats from you? Now, towards the end even, they didn't have the money. And now they're saying, you know, we're glad you don't have the seats because we can't afford them anyway.
There you go.
It's a sad state. And we're dealing with it. So, something similar. I was talking about my season's tickets and whether I should get rid of them or not. And I'm still on the fence. I think I'll keep them because I want that 40 years of having those seats in my family. I'm only at 7 right now. But, Jerry, don't be a stranger. We appreciate the call.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Jerry. Take care, buddy. I'm glad you called in.
Excellent. Thank you, guys. Good luck. I will call again.
Athens to Shanghai to Jersey. You're listening to The Kaufman Show. We'll be back.
Go about leaving.
Jay, I think we might have a new second to last song of the night.
This one?
Yeah, you know what? You Don't Knock didn't make it to the mix tonight.
All right,
figured
good.
We'd mix it up a bit.
Okay, good. I'm annoyed with that song.
Yeah, I'm not annoyed with it, but it's it needs to go out of the rotation a bit.
Yeah.
It doesn't have that classic feel that Deadlines or I Love This Town has.
That's right.
Those, to me, like, they're part of the show.
That's right. But, we can set up the last segment other ways.
So
I mean,
there
that's
you
fine.
Go. That's the warning to everybody. If you want to get in,
don't be upset.
That's right.
You're still listening to The Kaufman Show.
Yeah, but soon. Soon is bedtime.
Don't get thrown off by our unorthodox decisions.
Let's go back to the phones. 514-790-1690, 1690. If you're out of town, it's 1-866-896-2546. You can also reach Mr. Farrar over here at JPub Radio on Twitter. I am at The Kaufman Show. We've got Mike in St. Leonard. Hey, Mike. How are you, buddy?
Good evening, gentlemen. How are you?
Very good. What's going on?
Good. One more word about Du Plessis.
Sure.
His ancestors, if you look him up on Wikipedia, are so ashamed of what he's done that very few of them actually have decided to keep that name going.
Oh, wow.
It's hard to find a Du Plessis in Quebec now because of that, the stigma attached to that lunatic. Huh. I mean, the Chinese could learn from Du Plessis. I mean, if you look up the Ron Corelli case and what he did to people who were not on his side, he would take away their beer license, their wine license for even restaurants if he wanted to bury you, and he could easily do it. I mean, him and the Catholic Church were one and the same. He makes the right in the United States look like Bush League.
In 30 years, how many Tremblays will there be in the city?
They're a bit hard to get rid of. Well, you know what? He is a shameful man, boy. Wow. No shame, eh? I mean, you really had to take him, lift him in his seat, in his throne, and take him down the stairs and outside City Hall.
The standing ovation, there was like a pause between the end of the French speech and the start of the English one, where there was just this like rousing applause. And I know I've been in that building before, and it's a very, that room is kind of like an echo chamber, but it just sounded like I pictured this, like, you know, for the media who had been there since 9 o'clock in the morning taking pictures of a damn elevator. If you turned on LCN at any point today,
yeah,
all there was the shot of an elevator.
You know,
and, you know it wasn't the media clapping for him. We don't do that. There's no cheering in the press box.
I mean, what is there to cheer about? I mean, are they cheering because he's leaving?
It was his team. His team was cheering him.
They're stupid, too. I mean, let's be honest. I mean,
and I got to say, there were seven flags behind him, and I wanted more. There were more than the flags.
I saw you put that on Twitter, and I've seen that before. I mean, I'd love to know the character of this man better because it's really hard to figure out what he's about. I don't know if he's just that stupid or is he an egomaniac.
No, he was there too long. He was there too long. There's no term limit on a mayor.
That's true.
And, you know, and eventually, I don't care who you are. I don't care what character you have. If you've got that much power for too long, you're eventually going to be corrupted. This is why they've set term limits, you know, on the national level and the provincial level.
Yeah.
So true.
Well, at least in the states.
A
word about your earlier, the guy from the Arkells, about the basketball in Montreal.
Yes.
My cousin in Toronto had told me that when they first got the Raptors in Toronto, you know how they made them successful so quickly in terms of ticket sales is that
they named them after Jurassic Park.
Well, no, they tied the ticket sales and your season tickets with the Leafs with your tickets for the Raptors. You didn't have an option.
Oh, my.
If you wanted to keep your Leafs season tickets, you had to buy packages for the Raptors as an option.
Who's in charge of that, Du Plessis?
Well, you know, he went down the 401 and started up some businesses. I mean, listen, if you want basketball to work in Montreal, it's very simple. I mean, the economics here obviously are different than in Toronto. But if you tied Montreal Canadiens season tickets to a new NBA franchise and you have no choice in order to keep your NHL tickets, I mean, that's basically how you do it. I mean, that's how they've done it in Toronto. I don't know if they still do that to this very day, but I wouldn't be surprised. Because, you know, it's mostly corporate anyways, and it basically guarantees that you're filling your arena for another 40 nights. I mean, there's no playoffs for the Raptors, but, you know, another 40 nights with people buying concessions and whatnot. I mean, it's a good deal. If you can pull that off on your season ticket holders, go ahead and do it.
I would, you know what? I would have a radio show where I would complain very loud about that.
That's thought that would happen. And then you would re-up.
And then I would re-up. Right. Exactly. It's called filling time, right?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I mean, that's business, eh? I mean, welcome to Toronto. But and anyways, guys, have a good evening. Tomorrow I'll be ignoring the election until the latest point possible.
Yeah, I've decided I'm going to do the same. I have some plans for the evening that will keep me away from Wolf Blitzer, and I think I'll be better served for it.
Wolf is hard to take, I find, more and more every day. I don't know what it is about him.
I know exactly what
he's
it is.
He's a robot is what he is.
he's a hardcore Washington Nationals
He was
fan.
One of those Caucasian people that I thought of earlier who have no soul left.
Mike, thanks for the call,
have
man.
Have a good evening, guys.
Good one. I've just been handed a note coming off the wire. We have some final scores here for you. College basketball, we have Hawaii 78, Utah 70. BYU eked out Harvard 62-60. College football, we have University of Illinois 32, University of Massachusetts 10. Oh, a soccer friendly. Look at that. Kenya and Indonesia, 1-1 all.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. And finally, in women's hoops, the Binders. Wow, look at that. They beat the legitimate 67-55.
What?
You got to tune into sports radio to get your scores, right?
What was?
I know you're not a big women's hoops fan.
Clearly not.
The Binders.
Yeah.
Well, they're full of women.
I don't understand.
Full of women.
I think I've heard that somewhere before, and I don't.
Have you?
I wasn't sure it was associated with basketball.
I just got this one.
I'll take your word for it.
We just got this wonderful tweet over the wire from Max the Guru. If the Bulldogs move to Laval, you'll be getting a bill for AHL tickets. Wow.
There it is.
Wow. Well, that'll be a fun day. I look forward to that. I look forward to paying that.
Did Vioncourt step down?
I think that's tomorrow.
He's been mayor of Laval since I was a kid.
Oh, really?
Yeah, since I can remember. Like, you know, when we moved to Chomedey in 1985, he was the mayor.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, he's
see what happens?
Out. He's on his way out, too.
Yeah, good.
I lost my voice.
Oh, you okay, Dave?
I'm going to get some
water. You getting a little emotional about it? Dave Kaufman has left the building. He's a little bit. Dave, you want to? Okay. Well, he usually has a coffee with him, but apparently he doesn't this time. You okay now?
I think I have my voice back. Yeah,
okay.
There we go. Yeah, I just need a little sip of water.
Oh, okay. You didn't have your coffee or your liquid?
I got here too early tonight.
Okay.
I finished it. My liquid thing that I had. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's
your
called
liquid
coffee.
Thing?
And I finished it, about an hour before the show started. So, yeah. Once again, I want to remind you all to please go out and get your tickets for Kids for Kids, kidsforkids.ca. One more time on that ad, Jimmy. Can we do that?
Let's hear Jay again.
One more time with Mr. Baruchel.
Hi there. This is Jay Baruchel inviting you to a great party for a great cause. I hope to see you on Friday, November 23rd at Espace Réunion for the Kids for Kids 20th anniversary party, The Enchanted Garden, furnished by Lux Rentals. Co-lead sponsor Pivotal Payments invites you to a VIP cocktail at 7 p.m., followed by a night of dancing to benefit Sarah's Fund of the Cedars Cancer Institute. All the money raised goes to helping kids with cancer, so come party. For info, tickets, or to donate, you can call 843-1606 or go to kidsforkids.ca.
I wouldn't keep mentioning and playing this ad if it wasn't very important to me. November 23rd, I hope to see you all there. I want to thank our guests from tonight. I want to thank Mark Simon in Shanghai, China. That was very cool. A lot of fun to talk with an old friend. Man, that kid was the best hockey player in TMR growing up. And it's pretty cool to know that he's out.
Oh, that's how you know
him. On the other side of the world.
Okay.
Doing very noble stuff.
Good for him. Yeah, that is noble.
It's a good dude, and it was nice to catch up. We'll definitely stay in touch.
He's like a hockey black robe.
Wow. That's it. He is a hockey Jesuit.
Yes. He's going to other countries and teaching them our religion.
Yes, I hope it ends better for him.
Yes. And for the kids that he teaches.
And for the kids that he teaches. There you go. Full circle. I want to thank our new basketball correspondent, Max Kerman. Follow him at Arkell's Music. We play their songs from time to time on this show. They're good boys, all of them. And we appreciate Max's basketball knowledge. As we said, he passed the audition. We will definitely have Max back on.
I just wanted to give a shout out to wish my grandmother a happy birthday. She celebrated her birthday on November 2nd.
That's the most adorable thing I've heard all
night.
Wonderful.
I just wanted to do that little shout out.
Wow.
Francis Agnes Farrar turned 99 years old November 2nd.
Oh, happy birthday, Francis.
Happy birthday, Grandma. When you were born, World War I had not yet begun. So that's how long ago. 1913. Happy birthday, Grandma. Love ya.
I saw your band in the early days. We all understand why you moved away. We'll hold a grudge anyway. I shot the shit with miniature Tim. If he needs a tune, then I'll write one for him. We like the same books and we like the same sounds. There's a reason that I love this town. I played a show in Kelowna last year. Said, pick it up, Joel. We're dying in here. Picture one hand clapping, then picture half that sound. There's a reason that I hate that town. If you saw my band in the early days, then you understand why we moved away. You hold a grudge anyway, because it's fun. Davy and me, face down in our suit, some French restaurant, I saw Riviere de Loup. Last night at a tour, we burnt the place to the ground. There's a reason that I love this town. There's a reason that I love this town. There's a reason that I love this town.
Listening to The Kaufman Show. For Jay Farrar, I'm Dave Kaufman, and we'll be back next week.
I don't know. What'd that sound like?